Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Federal Roosevelt Council meeting, September 20th, 2021 at 7:06 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, which is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 25th, 2021, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood, he is absent. Mr. Lou Ethicoff.
He's here.
And we see you too.
Mr. Michael Hamilton.
He's here too.
Ms. Constance Herrstrom.
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker.
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell.
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin.
Here.
Okay.
Well, I wrote something, it's not exactly a report, but I wrote something to address. I know there are a number of people on the Zoom meeting tonight because of the discussion that's going to be held about potential fees for renting the Borough Hall room. So now we're out of order. I wrote something up a little while ago that I want to. So I want to address the situation pertaining to the proposed fees for renting the Borough Hall. Can everyone hear me?
Mm-hmm. I can.
I'm quite upset and disappointed. No one, absolutely no one, was targeted in this issue. We have a situation where the Borough Hall, after events, is left in very poor condition. I'm going to be really blunt and tell you that besides the big room being left dirty and in disarray, can you imagine the bathroom and the toilets after anywhere from 20 to 50 people have used it? The staff should not have to be exposed to this on a Monday morning when they come in and everything is really kind of disgusting. What we were trying to do was come up with a solution that would remedy it. We called a number of other towns and restaurants to get a general idea of their rental prices and subsequently discussed a much lower price. However, what transpired after hearing about the proposed fee was very disheartening. This was never intended to create any animosity or ill will. I know almost every member of RAP for a very long time, and I personally support RAP and attend as many events as possible. This is at its core about a clean Borough Hall and a clean bathroom. But what happened next, I felt was unacceptable, uncalled for, and untoward. The three U words. The key here is proposed. RAP nor anyone else was ever handed a bill. There's no ordinance on tonight's agenda to vote for it. It was proposed, which means it was to be discussed. I spoke with our borough attorney last week to address concerns of insurance in the possibility that RAP would be exempted and then how that would affect private people cleaning the room themselves on Saturday or Sunday nights. We're reasonable people. This is not a dictatorship, but the actions that RAP took, an email campaign, calling people, coming to the Borough Hall constantly to complain, were all unnecessary. Another U word. All that had to be done was come to tonight's meeting and express RAP's viewpoint. To rile people up and begin strategizing was, I felt, really over the top. As you're all aware, we currently live in an extremely divisive society. Unfortunately, in the last few years, this has filtered down to Roosevelt as well, where residents have been divided about several issues. To create another division of them against us, or any kind of schism, doesn't help anyone. There was no reason not to discuss this calmly and reasonably tonight. And then if things didn't go the way that you had hoped, another strategy could have been considered. But I believe that it just was really unnecessary to go to all the means that were going on behind the scenes, hoping to stave off a fig. I hope you're not angry at me for speaking my mind, but I thought that the whole situation could have been handled better and without creating more divisions. We have a gem of a town here, and I'm trying my best to maintain that, both physically and emotionally. All right, now that I've gotten that out of the way, can go to the public comment on agenda items only. I'm going to open the floor at 7:12 p.m. Are we 3 or 5 minutes?
3.
Okay, 7:12 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak? Okay.
I'm only seeing, I don't know who this is. I see Ron, Mike, no comments.
Which Mike?
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's public comment, so not you, not Councilman Mike.
Are we considered public as a council member?
No, it's just, yeah.
No, that's what I thought.
The government table, right?
Right.
If we could refer to Michael as Michael, that might be helpful. I'll be Mike. Yep. Might be easier.
Okay, I'm going to close the public portion on agenda items at 7:13. We come to approval of minutes, regular meeting minutes from August 16th, 2021, because we had a nice big break. Someone like to move the minutes?
Yes.
I'll second it.
I'm sorry, who said first? Was that Lou?
Yeah.
Okay, Lou and then Connie.
And I seconded it.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Discussion?
So move the question.
Roll call.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, minutes pass. Correspondent, we have two items of correspondence. The first is a letter from Roberts Engineering, dated August 23rd, 2021, regarding improvements to Pine Drive. So I'll give you a quick synopsis in case you haven't read the letter. So the Roberts Engineering wanted to remind us that we were awarded $180,000 for roadway improvements to Pine Drive between Rochdale and Maple Court. So in addition to the roadway improvements, Roberts Engineering is recommending that we consider replacing existing water main and water services that we did on some of our other streets. The estimated cost to replace both the water main and the services is $240,000. A new main will provide greater water quality and allow for easier maintenance. Design and inspection costs will not be eligible under the allotment and therefore were not included in the application made to the NJQT. So for a quick synopsis, the anticipated cost for service, design, permitting, bidding, and construction administration slash inspection are as Pine Drive roadway improvements, $61,000 for half of it, and the other half would be $32,000. So that would be a total of $93,000. So what the council needs to do, or finance needs to meet, is decide whether we are interested in providing new water mains and water services to that portion of Pine that's going to be repaved, just the way Homestead and Elm Court was.
May I ask a question, please? What data do we have on the condition of the water mains along Pine? Do we have any engineering study?
I think I actually saw that exact line. They're old. I don't know. I don't have an exact age.
All right. They haven't been televised or anything, as far as I know, have they?
Well, they don't televise the water mains.
No, but sewer lines they do, right?
Well, Steve is new, so I don't think he would know that, you know, when it was televised. Yes, we could ask Anna tomorrow if she knows. All right.
The resolution. My question is I think we have the grant to do the road work from DOT,
right?
But I don't believe that's applicable to the water mains.
Exactly.
Did we apply for the grant, and do we have the grant to do the water?
We have $180,000 for the roadway, not for the water. We have to go out to bond.
Okay, we're okay. Not applying for a grant for that, or?
I believe that we were denied a grant.
You mean the NJI Bank?
Yeah. Is that what everyone else recalls?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I know we'll probably apply for IBAC funding, which is generally the lowest rate available, if the council decides to go that route. And tonight we have on the agenda just a resolution to pay for the engineering fees. Is that correct for the water and sewer installation?
I don't see that.
Not for Pine, for Farm Lane and School Lane. That's the award of a contract. You have to award that contract to the.
Okay.
This is not, there's no resolution for this yet.
Okay. All right.
I think finance needs to meet and discuss it. And then,
we'll need to meet for the finance. Yeah.
Okay. And the second item is a letter from the Monmouth County Board of Commissioners dated August 27th regarding a resolution establishing a revised no passing zone along County Route 571.
I don't know if you needed to read that. That's,
do you want me to read that? I mean, we're going to get no passing signs.
No, they're changing the.
They're painting the yellow lines.
It's from Nurco Road to Perrineville Road, I think, the passing zone. Yeah. And that's a very dangerous intersection. I've encountered people passing on that and narrowly escaped a head-on collision a couple times.
There were also, that resolution went also to Millstone. So they're going to be doing the same thing at the end that's in Millstone.
If you look at the yellow line between Borough Hall and Route 1, you'll see a lot of little dots there now. So that will be the sections that are double lined. So in other words, coming into Roosevelt, it's going to be almost impossible by the yellow lines to pass anyone. And that would slow traffic down because a lot of people just start passing and blow right through town there. So.
It's only going from Ely's Corner to Nurco Road in both directions.
Yeah, I think it's a little closer to Borough Hall also. I have to look at the lines. Again, there are little dots on the road where they're going to make it a solid line.
They have white lines.
The document I have says southbound. It's the segment beginning at County Road 1, Perrineville Road, and extending 2,650. South to the center line of the intersection of Nurco Road, so not to the Borough Hall. And the same thing northbound, Nurco Road to 1.
Okay.
That's all according to the.
Okay. So and it's all marked. Yeah.
That's the correspondence we got.
Hopefully it helps.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know if you're aware. Kathleen was telling me about it, and then we researched. There was just a terrible, terrible, terrible accident kids this morning where Perrineville Road meets Cedarville. You know, that one street that comes in, Cedarville Road meets Nurco.
Winter Perrineville.
No, Winter Perrineville Road, right.
Right.
You can take it and cut across to Etra. It was just an awful, awful accident. So I don't know whether speeding is involved, but you know, we just have a real problem with speeding in this area. Okay, I'm going to come to ordinances. We have the first reading of ordinance 2021-05, an ordinance amending Schedule A of Chapter Z zoning and Article 7, Administrative Fees of Chapter 2, Administrative and Section 5-2.6, License Fees of Chapter 5, Animal Control, to increase, eliminate, and implement certain administrative fees.
We're doing resolutions?
Well, just tell you now, so the public hearing will be held on October 18th, which is our next meeting. No, I'm sorry, it's not. It's two meetings away because this also has to go to the planning board at 7 o'clock in the borough of Roosevelt. And this is because almost all of the fees that we charge are so far below the average that we just haven't kept up. And with any of the, not just surrounding towns, but all of the towns. And so we came up with a fee schedule that is kind of in the middle of everyone else's fees. Like we said, from the low end to the high end, we chose fees right in the middle. We have a
right here.
Yeah, I'll read. It's probably in the packet, right?
It's in their packet. Yeah. You did get a revised packet about 5:30 today.
Okay, I didn't get that one.
Also posted on the borough website. So anything with an underline. So our zoning permit is $25, and for new building is $50. See how they cross
yeah,
out?
Yeah.
Okay, that the fence permit's coming out because it's all considered under zoning permit, right? General.
And a copy of the zoning ordinance will be $75. A copy of the master plan will be $75. A copy of the master plan map will be $25.
Those are not changed. They're still.
Yeah. Oh, the fee for obtaining, as far as vital records. Obtaining a certified copy of vital statistic records is going to go from $5 to $15. And
that's the borough hall.
Well, right, but we'll probably discuss that later separately. Animal control.
The new overall fee is going to be $12 and $15 for non-neuter, non-spay.
So just a few different fees that were well below and hadn't been changed in many, many, many years.
And also in this though, is this rental.
Right, but I think we should put that off till later.
But it's all part of this ordinance.
All right, does everybody want to discuss? I just thought the rental.
So all together.
All right. So in this was the borough hall rental fee. So I'm sure you all read it. Basically, it's talking about the borough hall council meeting room with the kitchen and the restroom should be available for event rental. And everyone will have to submit an application, which is approved by the council, which shall be accompanied by the rental fee and the security deposit. All applications have to be approved, we know this, before the event. And what the suggested price was, obviously we're going to get into a discussion about not being exempted, but as far as what we have now, the application shall be accompanied by a rental fee in the amount of $50 to cover the borough's administrative costs and post-event janitorial service, as well as a refundable security deposit in the amount of $300. $300 has been on there for a long time. That's to cover any significant damage or staining or anything like that would occur. And the borough shall have the right to retain the security deposit if the charge for any applicant is in excess of the deposit or to restore property or premises if necessary. I'm sure you all know that this came about because of the poor condition of the borough hall and because it was left to the employees to do the cleaning themselves. And by employees, it's basically Anna, where Anna and Kim, different people that are in here during the day, We did call a number of places to get their, how much they charge. Most towns either do not rent out their community rooms or charge far in excess of $150. I know that we never did charge before, and I loved that it was free here. A lot, you know, residents use our borough hall for free. It's part of our community service. But to be honest, I had never really considered, I knew it was left a mess, but never really thought about who cleans up the mess specifically, or in addition, the bathrooms, which are in a whole different category. And that's when we thought that the best thing to do would be just charging. And as I said, see, most of the places I call, most of the towns and a few restaurants range from $250 to $300. Right now we have, you know, extra special cleaning because of COVID. We're still really sanitizing and making everything very antiseptic. But so as I said, many towns do not rent out their community rooms. I called the firehouse because they have a huge one with the kitchen. They don't rent it out. Most towns don't, and other towns charge much more than $150. So the $150 for people using our room, that's the fee. That's separate from the $300 deposit, but that would cover administrative costs, janitorial services, and such. So
I would like to ask a question.
Pardon me, Lou?
I would like to ask a question.
Go right ahead.
We have Tai Chi there twice a week. We don't charge them anything.
Okay, let me finish.
And the woman that teaches Tai Chi charges a fee for her service.
She does.
Yeah, I think there's a contradiction here somewhere along the line.
I'll tell you why, and it's just, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying I agree, don't agree. Tai Chi is a few people, they don't take out chairs. They don't eat. There's no eating involved. There's no trash. They're here for 50 minutes and they leave. They rarely use the bathroom. And as I said, they don't use any chairs.
But if somebody decides to sit down for 5 minutes, they're using a chair. But that's beside the point. The point is that I don't think you can separate that from any other thing. It's a rental. It's a use.
It's a use, yeah.
They're using it. Now, if they're using it for that, I don't see how we can legally or in good conscience start charging people in town for meetings or for organizations in town that are recognized as organizations. I presume the Tai Chi program is something like that to do this. There's got to be a better way. I'm not sure I know the better way particularly, but I think there is, because I think this makes it, this becomes very selective, and that's dangerous.
Well, that's exactly what we're saying, to see what we can
do. What? What did you say? What did you say?
I said that's exactly what we're discussing, is what we can come up with.
All right, let's do that, but let's not pass anything tonight.
No, I don't think we, you mean in the whole general fee?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole ordinance
should go back for further discussion.
I think, are we going by the agenda tonight?
Yeah,
Peggy. I mean, I don't see that we've done anything about committee reports, or we haven't gotten onto the new business to talk about the fee ordinance. So I'm just wondering why we're bringing this up now.
Ronnie, did you get the revised agenda?
Excuse me?
Did you get the revised agenda that I sent out at about 5 o'clock?
No.
Okay, it's on there.
So where is it on the agenda?
It's right after correspondence.
After correspondence, right before ordinance. Is that right?
It's right under ordinance.
Okay. And it was meant to talk about the fee ordinance at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was
let Connie finish.
Yes. I was going to at least have something to say under my report on the committee chairs, you know, that deals with this issue. And also under when we get to the fee portion, that I have a couple things to read into the minutes when you get there. So I don't know if this is the appropriate place or you want to wait.
Well, we can table this if that's what everyone is in favor of. It is here as a first reading, but it can be tabled.
You mean the whole thing is tabled?
Pardon me?
You mean the whole thing is tabled?
Yeah, we can. I thought we could separate wrap or at least discuss it separately, but I guess evidently we can't. So yeah, we could table the entire fee ordinance.
Mayor, I'm sorry, Connie, are you finished? I just want to make a comment on this.
Well, at the moment, but I still have some other things I'd like to say.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think that this ought to go to committee. I know Lou is chair of administration. It's an administrative matter, and it's purely a council matter. The council is the legislative branch of government, and we need to discuss this and see how we can best approach this. There's a number of issues here that we haven't really discussed with it. One of them is having clear objective standards for how the place is to look when it's handed over. When there's that handoff from the council to the to whatever group is using it, and then when the keys are handed back to the council, what should be done exactly? I think that needs to be spelled out clearly so that we don't have any subjective standards for different groups. And I think Lou hit on an issue too with what about other community groups? I think you have to be really careful. You know, you have to say certain groups, yeah, we're going to charge them, and other groups, well, they don't really have that much wear and tear on the building. I just think we need to take a look at how we're going to address it, because I think it is an issue how the condition of Borough Hall, but we're dealing mainly with community groups now who are using it on a regular basis, and some of them really can't. It's pretty burdensome for some very small community groups to have to pay a $150 fee on a repeating basis for, and I know some organizations use the Borough Hall maybe 8-9 times during the year, and that's a big hit to the budget. So I think it should go to committee. I'd be in favor of when it comes around to voting on this. I make a motion now, in fact, to table this.
I'll second that.
Well, before you guys do that, I was going to suggest.
I would add something in here. So actually, very few community groups use the room. Just want to put that out there. Anna did a count, and it's very, very few community groups use the room. And I completely.
More for weddings and
there's
birthday
but I
parties.
I completely forget what my second point was completely. But, I know, I was going to say, if this goes to committee, the only thing I would like is if we could expedite it somewhat, because it doesn't negate the situation that we have people in here using the facilities and then they're in need of cleaning afterwards. So I would hope it just didn't languish in committee and not come up with a solution as quickly as possible.
So Mayor, if I may?
Sure.
So I just have two things to point out. One, it's not just about the fee. We have an employee in the building who complained about unsanitary conditions during pandemic conditions. So I want to stress the mayor's encouraging the council or committee to solve this quickly, because that's also a competing interest here. And then two, it seems that no one really disagrees with basically the fees being updated statutorily for the dog licenses and things like that. So I made although they're together, you can see that I made it severable. There's multiple sections. So if you wanted to introduce the ordinance removing section 3 for Borough Hall for further consideration, you can do that and we can move forward with the rest of the more administrative items and keep the clerk on track, which will make her happy. even though I made her send out an amended agenda tonight. So maybe that'll make it up to her.
I thought we could separate it. That's why I didn't realize we had it. I thought we could separate them.
Yeah, I put it into sections individually so that if there was any particular fee someone had a question on, then you could just pull that out. So if you guys want to introduce this ordinance with, so section, and just to go through it, so for the public's benefit as well. So section one is the zoning refundable fees, which really the only material change for current residents is that they'll have to pay $15 more for a fence permit, but everything else is basically the same unless you build something new in town. If you're coming in new and building, then the fee went up. You have the certified copies for vital statistics that tracks the statute and the local finance fees, and the dog licenses went up since the last time you guys updated the borough code. So those are pretty administrative in nature. If that's okay, I would ask someone that perhaps Mr. Hamilton could withdraw his motion and then remake it as amended, excluding section three of the published ordinance.
I would rather see it go to committee prior to that, because I think there's other fees that need to be adjusted and looked at too. What do we currently charge for a CO?
For a CO, we just did that one recently.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's 35 or 50.
I think there's a number of fees that are pretty low. And I think we really should look at our whole menu of fees that we charge for applicants to the planning board, all of those things. I think we need to really, really
review the entire
quite a few fees. Yep. We're really low on a lot of fees.
Actually, like laughably low. People are in shock when they see what they have. And that's why this whole discussion came up to begin with. Even before the cleaning of the barrel hall, we knew that our fees are almost silly. They're from another era. And we're not looking to, you know, kind of extract extra money from people, but we do need to be brought up to more, you know.
We have administrative costs, and so we need to cover those costs, especially in a small town. And it does have an effect on our small budget. It's larger as a proportion of our budget than in larger towns. And there may be some things we don't charge fees for that we do, maybe things that are missing here. So I'd like to see administration and the committee get together and look at the whole fee structure that we charge. I think it makes some sense. Okay. So I'd like to retain my motion with all due respect.
That is your right, sir. When you guys finish up the thing, send me the review and I'll amend it to include whatever else you need, though, in all seriousness.
Great. So there's a motion on the table to table it.
Mike, what about the tree permit? I know that's fairly recent, but.
What permit?
Tree.
Oh, tree.
And we first, can I, who was the second on that tabling?
Lou.
I'll second that.
Lou was second? Okay, let's finish. Are we tabling? I'll do a roll call vote, and then you guys can discuss. Mr. Esipoff, this is to table ordinance 2021-05.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom.
Yes.
Mr. Mocker.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
Okay, so that is tabled. So now you can discuss.
2105 is tabled. Tree ordinance. Yeah, is this a proper time to mention the tree ordinance, Greg? Is that okay?
We probably should continue and do
that. Why don't you go through resolutions and then you can open up the reports, because obviously I think there's a number of council people, we can do it all at the same time. I think that makes sense.
Finish the resolution.
That's not, I'm sorry.
Reports.
Okay. I didn't hear you, Greg.
Sorry.
Okay. We're going to come to resolutions. Resolution 21-104, payment of bills for September 20th, 2021.
I move that we pay our bills.
No, I'll second that.
Discussion?
I'd be to that side, Lou.
Discussion?
Okay. Well, yours.
Okay, Joe got the second.
Mr. Esipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Bills will be paid. Resolution 21-105, resolution authorizing the extension of the due date for the third quarter 2021 tax payments.
I'll offer 21-105.
A second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Oh, it's extended to September 30th. Oh, that's when it is.
Okay, and so this is extended through until September 30th, 2021.
Is it on here? Statistics?
Yeah.
That's April.
Yeah, April. Where's the?
This is April. This is the next one. And then.
Yeah. Oh, I just didn't see your name.
Yeah.
So we come to Resolution 21-106, acknowledging appointment of Deputy Registrar of Vital Statistics. And that is April Claudio, who is also our Planning Board Secretary. And she has her CMR, and she is has agreed to be our Deputy Registrar of Vital Statistics. So do I have a motion?
I'll move 21-106.
I'm sorry, papers are falling all over here. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Just double checking on something. All right, roll call.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've now officially appointed April Claudio as our Deputy Registrar of Vital Statistics. And we come to Resolution 21-107, resolution appointing part-time Deputy Borough Clerk. That is Caitlin Ippolito, and she's been working for us for quite a few weeks now. Do I have
I'll make that motion.
Okay. I'll second.
And I'd like to comment that the minutes have been very good and very, very accurate. So I'm very glad.
I was going to wait until the vote ended. I mean, until the vote was finished, but I was going to recommend that if you have a chance at some point to come in and meet Caitlin, April isn't here very often, but Caitlin is here on a regular basis. And I think she's a wonderful addition to our staff and we're very lucky to have her. And so if you have a moment to come in and meet her, I think you would enjoy it. Take roll call.
I think second was Mr. Essikoff, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. So welcome to April and Caitlin. And finally, Resolution 21-108, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt awarding a contract for improvements to Farm Lane and School Lane.
I'll make a motion to approve 21-108.
I'll second.
And I'll second. All right, Lou lives there, so he can second.
It's all right. You got it.
Okay. Yeah, this went out to bid. This is the low bidder. So we're voting to approve on that.
Roll call.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Reports of committee chairs. Councilman Atwin is not here tonight. We'll go right to Councilman Essikoff, administration.
Everything is working well. Everything's fine. I would like to discuss the water in the garage, but that's it's not under what I wanted to say is that I think we have stopped doing anything with it until we find out where the water is coming in, how the water is getting into the garage, because just doing putting in a pump and a French drain will take the water out. But I would like to see if we can stop the water from coming in altogether. That would be the logical way to do it, I think.
Well, how about we wait until Steve's report, since he's Public Works, and then we can all join in then with our thoughts.
All right. So, but otherwise, the borough is still chugging along.
Good. All right, Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Yeah, I think we're going to need a finance meeting coming up relatively soon to discuss road work and various road improvement, infrastructure improvement projects, the Pine Drive project, the water, possible water line replacement and sewer line replacement, and that kind of thing. And there's some other issues that came up, and they do have financial bearing because it's quite a lot of money. So I'll be contacting the members of finance to try to set up
a finance. And discuss the fee adjustments.
Well, we can discuss it. It is finance as well as administration. And right. So we can discuss it under both.
Yep.
End of report.
Thank you. Councilmember Hurstrom, community development code enforcement.
Okay. This fee ordinance that came up that I hadn't heard of, you know, before sort of propelled me into looking at what the understanding here is of community development. And after some discussions, conversations with others in the community, it seems that it entails support for the physical and mental well-being of the community, as well as encouraging interaction in the community. So I certainly would appreciate any comments that any of you may have for enhancing or, you know, giving feedback, you know, on how you see that role. I did speak with Luke McDermott, you know, McDermott before, you know, taking this on to hear, you know, his thoughts, you know, on that. So in knowing that that's what we're trying to do, or we're in this committee, I wanted to make sure that our policies would be in accordance and in support, you know, of these objectives. And so when I looked at the proposed ordinance, I felt there needed to be some consideration for events that benefit the community at large and enhance community standing, and that it makes a distinction between private and community events. So that's, you know, where I am coming from and looking at it from the community development, you know, standpoint. So I'd certainly want to get further input if there is a disagreement on how we do that. And I think tabling this, you know, to have further discussion, I think would be helpful.
Honey, REC is a nonprofit, right?
It's a nonprofit.
Right, so it's possible for an exemption based solely on the fact that you're actually a nonprofit group, beside being a community benefit.
Say that again, Peggy.
It's possible that you could be for an exemption simply because you're a nonprofit, as opposed to a private person, you know, renting the room. The underlying reason for all of this, it's not that we want to impose fees on people, it's that we just want a clean borough hall after an event. So if everyone comes up with a viable solution, the point was not to be able to, you know, make a profit or make money on this. It was simply, we need to have a clean borough hall and after the events. But it's possible also, besides being a benefit to the community, you are, the app is a nonprofit. So that also may go a long way in providing an exemption for the fee.
May I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Just as a point of order, we're under committee reports, right? So I just want to make sure we...
That's all I wanted to say on the community report side at this point.
So let's go to
May I just want to say one thing about, it's also code enforcement.
About what, Mike?
It's community development and code enforcement. Yeah. This is for Connie's.
Okay.
And there's some code enforcement issues that have come up too recently with issues with new property owners coming in and clear cutting, you know, all the trees from property and all of that. I'm sure we'll be discussing that down the line. But I think I'm really glad that Connie's on the council, and community development is really, I think, an important committee. And I think this one issue touches on three committees that I'm aware of. The fee ordinance, it touches on finance, administration, and community development. So I just wanted to stress what I think we're all in agreement on. I think the committees really matter, and they give us a chance to sit down and really discuss it, the issues informally, and try to find ways to address some of these issues while also supporting community groups. So I applaud Connie for what she said. I think it's right on the money.
Can we, hopefully the committees can meet before our next meeting in the next 2 weeks, so we have some sort of step one to begin with. It doesn't languish too long. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry, Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Yes. Well, I guess we want to talk about the garage. My thoughts on it are that the solutions that were put forward by the contractors are kind of normal, and they're probably the cheapest way to deal with it. Not my preferred method. I kind of agree with Lou, but I made a sketch. I think if we could avoid pumping, I'd love to see us avoid pumping if we decided to go ahead with the interior work. Let's talk about it.
Well, Roberts Engineering would like to come in and do an actual investigation to see exactly what is causing the problem, so that we're not just pumping and putting in drains and hoping to catch all the water or drain all the water. So I thought we would have a discussion about hiring Roberts Engineering to actually investigate exactly what the problem is.
Did they investigate that once already?
I'm not sure that this is the exact same problem.
Well, I remember speaking with Carmela and Cameron and saying, the problem is we have water in the garage, and we'd like to make it.
If you want to continue your discussion.
According to Mr.
Email from Carmela.
According to Greg, our maintenance man, maintenance person, he says it's coming from the wall. When the rain hits the wall, the cinder block absorbs it and puts it and drops it into the garage. That could be possible. Doesn't seem to me that it is, but if he says so. But we'd have, before we spend $4,000 on a system that only takes the water out but doesn't tell us, doesn't prevent it from coming in, I think is not the way to go. The way to go, I think, is to find out where it's coming from and then address that issue. That would be the most logical thing as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with Lou, but I hope it doesn't take $4,000 worth of engineering to figure out where it's coming
that's
from.
That's right. I think so. I don't think so. I think if we took a good look at it, we could almost solve it ourselves.
Well, I will read you the letter from Roberts Engineering, just so you're all aware of it. I don't think waterproofing the walls will be a complete solution to the problem. I believe the problem being experienced in the third garage bay is a result of groundwater. We're now intercepting stormwater overland with the under drain, but there is still water in the garage. I believe it is seeping through the walls and could be coming in through a joint at the floor wall intersection. A wall sealant would not be enough to correct the problem, and it will be very difficult, if not impossible, to seal the wall next to the generator because the space between the wall and the generator is small. If you want to add sealant to the sump pump solution, it could certainly not hurt and it could help. Our basic difficulty is that we don't know exactly how the garage was built and exactly how water is getting in, but I believe the sump pump solution will work. As far as determining how the garage is built, I don't recommend this as it will add another hole where water can enter the building. The sump pump proposals include saw cutting a 4-inch slab with an extra fee if the floor is thicker. So the contractor will cut the floor regardless of what we investigate, and the price will reflect the actual depth. As to the suggestion to drain the pump by gravity rather than a pump, this is a good idea, but we don't know if it will work. The under drain is about 2 feet below ground surface at its shallowest, and the sump pump will be 18 inches to 24 inches below ground, so there may not be enough slope to drain by gravity to the under drain. And if the under drain is full, that may now allow the sump pump to fully drain, which could cause overflow in the garage. It may be possible to run a gravity line all the way to the inlet in the parking lot. The inlet is about 4 feet deep and might allow for safe gravity flow. However, there are electric and gas lines in the route from the garage to the inlet. The gas line is about 1 to 2 feet behind the edge pavement and is approximately 20 inches deep. So all these possible solutions are just that, possible. We don't have enough information to firmly design something other than the French drain and sump pump. If the borough wants to do more, test holes outside the building are needed to locate underground conflicts and determine if they can be avoided with the new gravity line. If so, the sump pump can be drained by gravity. Of course, this will probably cause a price change to the proposals already. So that is the official response from the borough engineer.
So she did do a report on it. Steve, did you get a copy of that report?
No, I think this was in a letter to
an email.
An email to me.
I would just like to say that when we get something that involves public works, like a letter from the engineer, it would be good if our public works chair got a copy of it also.
Yeah, well, she just sent this. Where'd it go? I just lost again. I just got it this afternoon.
All right. So we all have it probably by tomorrow.
That would be nice.
Any other discussion about it?
Well, you know, water doesn't. What if we seal the area inside? Just a thought. If we seal the area where the wall meets the floor, you know, that particular place, the water can't get, supposedly then the water can't get in.
She addressed that in the letter, Liz. She said she didn't think that would work. I think it should be sealed.
So what the hell will work?
How about if I make this suggestion that I ask Carmela to join our next council meeting and everyone can ask her questions directly? Would everyone be amenable to that?
Or if she came to a public works meeting, that would be nice, or someone. Right? Well, if Steve had a public works meeting.
Maybe the public works meeting can be just prior to the council meeting, and this way she can go to both and stay over and be one visit then.
There you go. Keep the trees down, yeah.
Our next council meeting is what? October 4th, okay. So if you could try to have, I know it's soon, but if you could have a public works meeting by then, invite Carmela and then have her stay on for the council meeting.
Mm-hmm. Also, we have the North Valley situation. I would like to, for one of us, Steve or myself or Greg, to go there with a representative from engineering and just take a look.
Maybe that could be done on the 4th prior to the meeting, too.
Yeah.
That would be nice, yeah.
Has Carmela herself or her firm ever visited this site there, or just the county?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, so that would be ideal, Mike, if she could also visit that site, because we need to take care of that, or at least investigate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else, Steve?
No, I think that's about it.
I had a question for you, Steve. There's a lot of drainage issues, a lot of water issues, and we're not the only town, I'm sure, if you watch the news, who's experiencing water and drainage issues, and with all the, and Earl has something to say about that. I know, he doesn't like it. I know you don't like it, but anyhow, you know, I think it's something that that there's a lot more issues around town with drainage. If you go along Tamara and you look at the rising water table there, it's washed away some of the bridges that the Environmental Commission put in. It's really, we need to look at some other public works issues as well, I think, with regarding water and drainage and stream cleaning and, you know, making sure we remove any blockages in the stream corridors in the right kind of way. So I just want to point out that there are a lot of water-related issues that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And then you factor in climate change and rising water tables. I mean, we're so wet here.
I think, you know, Mike is right. You know, we've got a ton of issues. The storm drainage is kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. And it's been neglected over the years, and walking around the town, there's quite a number of places that need some work, need minor maintenance. But I think we should definitely work on a maintenance program. Part of the problem is the size of our public works department. Yeah, it's like some of the stuff is a good bit of physical labor, and we probably have to go with shared services type thing to get some of the things done. But and we have had some extraordinary rainstorms this year too. So, you know, all drainage systems are kind of designed to fail. They're designed for a certain size storm, and when you get something bigger, they don't work, you know, and that's kind of financial thing. You can't afford to build a storm drainage system for every event. So, but anyhow.
I'm going to ask a question that's probably really ignorant. I just don't, you know, don't have a lot of knowledge about these things. But the storm drain at the corner of Farm and Valley in front of the old Rossi house, I walk by there nightly, and it sounds like the ocean. It just rolling. And it the first time I heard it actually frightened me, because I thought something was there or something was. Is there a reason why that one is so
tough? That's why we'd like to go with the engineering people to North Valley and with a flashlight and just take a look so they can have an idea of what we know.
It's actually frightening to hear that sound.
I think what that is they connected their sump pump to the inlet that's there at the corner.
Homeowners, you mean?
Yeah. And that's a normal thing. It's nothing wrong with it. And because if they put it out onto their lawn, it's going to get into that catch basin anyhow. So it was no problem. But that gives you an idea of what the water table looks like there. That sump pump runs like nonstop.
That sound is scary coming out of that storm drain.
Yeah, and you can't stand there for more than 5 minutes and not hear that thing kick on. Yeah, so.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
So let me just about the public works. Do we have permission to get engineering to come with a representative from the council and look at North Valley as well as the water in the garage before the next meeting?
Yeah, I think we should do that. I don't, it's in the budget. I don't think we need permission. Just go ahead and authorize it.
I'm just asking. Okay. All right. Nothing for utilities now. It's all looking good. Water in, water out. Sounds good.
Good.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Does anyone have any old business that they wanted to?
I just wanted to say one more thing about the water issues. I read an interesting study about why some of the storms are moving very, very slowly now. They tend to stall out over areas, and there's training along that area. A lot of the storms, especially that are moving through the Gulf that used to move through a lot quicker, now they're moving really slow. They kind of stall out. One of the reasons that they hypothesize about it is there's not as much of a temperature gradient between water in the Gulf and air elsewhere. And so it's a temperature gradient, that difference between two zones, that causes a lot of air and a lot of movement. And because it's warming over the ocean and over the bays and that kind of thing, storms, once they hit land, they just don't move on. They stay there, and you get a lot of rain out of systems. And I think we've seen that. But I know Steve is right about you can only, make a system to handle what you anticipate to be maybe the a certain limitation. And I think things are changing now, and you can't really design systems now to handle the worst case scenarios. It'd be very expensive. But I'm glad we're going to look into that in a comprehensive way.
Thank you. All right, we're going to come to new business. We'll bulk pickup October 4th. I think everyone received a flyer listing what's prohibited and what's acceptable. And then we have use of the barrel hall. Poplar on November 21st, 2021. Private event. So I guess we should vote on that.
Just a motion, a second, and then all in favor.
So Greg, how will this work if we pass a fee ordinance for a fee, to rent the room before November 21st? We just inform the people?
You mean the people that already booked?
Yeah. Or start from scratch in January or something?
I mean, it's really a customer service question more than a legal one. I mean, you can make the fee start whenever you want. It's kind of bad form to take people's reservations and then tell them there's a fee later.
That's what I thought.
I'll leave that to you guys in customer service. I mean, legally, you can have the fee start whenever you want, but it's a matter of tact, I think.
So does everyone agree that at least for the people who've booked now, we shouldn't go back and tell them if it is passed, by then, that maybe we would, when we finally come up with a solution, maybe start it with the new year?
Well, I think we ought to come up with a clear set of standards for how the place is to be left and make them sign off that they agree to that. Even if we don't have a fee, I think people ought to sign off.
That's been done. That's on the form.
Yeah, but we need a clear checklist, I think, for people to make sure they check the bathroom, clean it, and so on.
We did.
Yeah, I don't have any problems.
And updated the form.
Yeah.
So does everyone agree? Don't charge anyone in case that
I think it would be in bad taste.
I think so too. That's why I asked. Okay.
Yeah.
So do we have a motion for Steve Poffler renting the room on November 21st?
Do you know what hours they're renting it from?
I don't. It's a memorial service for his wife who died a year and a half ago.
You know if it's during the day or at night or?
It's definitely during the day. It's not night.
For some reason, I want to say 2 to 6, but I'd have to go through my email.
Who's this?
Steve Coughler, Jeanette Coughler's son.
Ah, he's doing it.
So he, anyway, it's a memorial. And I'm almost certain that it's, I would say definitely during the day.
Okay.
Do I have a motion?
You do.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Abstain.
Did Steve say aye?
Yeah, and I abstained. Mike abstained.
Okay.
Okay, and then we have use of the barrel by Tara Thompson on January 22nd, 2022. That's the 2 to 6
company. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, for a private event. Do I have a motion?
I do.
Second?
Okay.
I'll second that one too. Oh, Connie's got it. Okay.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Let me just throw this out there. Anna said she was going to make a list of requirements that is, you know, a checklist, like Mike was saying.
I said she did. I just told Mike that she did. She updated the form and she has all the requirements on there.
All right. Good. Okay.
Okay. We have use of the barrel hall from RAP on September 25th, 2021. From 7:30 to 9:30 for a live drawing studio. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that.
Second? Someone want to second this?
I'll second.
Steve.
Give it to Steve since he's not on rep. Okay. All in favor?
All of these events should be getting the checklist.
Yes.
Okay.
All in favor?
I'm going to abstain. I'm a RAP member and I have a conflicted interest here.
Joe gives it an aye.
Lou does too.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Okay.
And Connie, I didn't hear her.
I would say yes, unless I am required to abstain.
I don't. I know Greg's here on that. I think on this kind of issue, generally it's a judgment call. There's no financial interest, obviously, because RAP never has any money. But and obviously that's not in it for the money. Am I right, Councilor?
They charge a fee, which is separate than for private events where they don't charge people to come in. But
my conflict is, I feel strongly in both ways. As a council rep, I understand the need to make sure that things are kept clean. As a RAP member, I don't want to see large fees for this kind of thing. So that's why I'm abstaining. But
this isn't about a fee. This is strictly if it's okay with you for them to use the room.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like there's still is a conflict since I'm on RAP.
Well, we have some new council members, so I'll lay out the conflict. I agree with Councilman Hamilton's abstention on the use of Borough Hall for RAP on September 25th as a member, because that resolution specifically affects a organization of which Councilman Hamilton is a part, right? So that it deals with RAP. We're not charging them a fee, and they get to use Borough Hall. And Councilman Hamilton is a member of that group, so that's a conflict. Now, if let's say that we were charging that $150 ordinance before, it might affect some organizations more than others, just like when you vote to pave one road instead of another, but it still treats everyone the same as a general fee ordinance or something like that. So even though it might affect an organization, that's not a conflict or conflicted feelings or things like that, but it's a legal conflict if you vote individually on a resolution affecting an organization of which you're part, one of your blood relatives, or your own property yourself. So that those are the conflicts, just because I know we had so many people here, we haven't gone over this in a while. So thank you.
So then
I would have to abstain as a blood member to the president.
Are you a blood member if you're a wife?
I don't know. That's maybe not. So Greg, we would have to say.
Spouse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spouse is definitely a conflict. Yes.
It's not blood.
It's close to the, actually under the law, it's close to them, blood. You can't, you have spousal privilege as well. So.
Yeah.
You know, that's spousal privilege with your cousin, so.
Okay, but we do have three yeses, so we're good with that. Two abstain, three yeses, so they have the use.
Okay, the ordinance, I think we discussed and decided to send it to committee.
Since you're tabling the fee ordinance, is it possible for the people who are making decisions on this that we could know who are the people who are using the borough hall in the past? And, you know, to know, are they mostly private events? Are they community events? What are they? Is there a list or?
Very few events that happen privately. Some years, none. Some years, two or three. Mostly it's either for a memorial service or someone who has died or some kind of birthday party or shower. That's a bit. There's very few.
But there's also, there was the first aid squad, which has meetings there too. And also continues to have meetings periodically.
Right, but there, yeah, no more. So I don't know, Connie, just mostly, you know, a party or a memorial service.
I think because of COVID, there's not a lot of building use now, you know, and
well, it's not going to be here forever, we hope. So we're trying to set an ordinance, and if we need an ordinance or we don't need an ordinance, I mean, I think that's a discussion that we need to have.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, I'm going to open the floor for public comment on any item at 8:18 p.m. This is any item at all. So is there anyone from the public?
Lou, the public? I have an item.
No, Lou, this is the public first.
Okay.
You should have brought up your item at new business or old business, but we can get to it afterward. But right now, this is for the public. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak?
I would.
Well, let me close the public portion, Lou. I'm going to close the public portion at 8:19 p.m. And, okay, Lou.
Did everybody receive a letter from, I received a letter from the Roseville First Aid Squad today. Has anybody seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who said that?
I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
It is full of misinformation. I mean, really full of misinformation. Things like on the back part, they say that we got rid of our employee for, they didn't say they got, we didn't say that. They said we hired two, a water and a sewer person to take care of the water sewer system, water and sewer system. And, you know, and he implies that that we're spending a lot of money on that, when in fact we're saving money.
And we're saving a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Also, right.
A lot of money. Then he writes about the $80,000 that we're spending for the fire and first aid. Now he never mentioned the fact that this group we here weren't the ones that made that contract. That was done previous to our administration. That's really, you know, that's almost that blatant non-truths, as it were. You know, I think he has we have to some way let the community know that this is very inaccurate. I think you ought to read it before you're too far. I think you ought to read it.
Also, it's made to seem as if all the services were free before, which also in fact is not accurate, as we donated a good amount of money to fire and first aid. But I was thinking about either putting out a flyer or writing a letter to the borough.
There were a lot of personalized kind of comments that were embedded into what looked like a simple, or was framed as a simple flyer. Yes, you want to save money and have the first aid squad, or no, do you want to pay somebody else to do it? It was kind of like, I'm reminded of a push-pull. It's kind of a push-pull, you know, it's giving information that's slanted one way and trying to promote a particular position on it. And it's also getting involved with a lot of political kinds of things. And for a group that's a nonprofit, I think that's a no-no. I think you need to be very careful with that kind of thing. You can lose your nonprofit status if you, you know, do things like that. You know, but yeah, it is disturbing to have so many, what I think are misrepresentations. The flyers said that we've abandoned searching for the most cost-effective way of running our borough.
Right. We
outsourced everything. Well, that's kind of why, one of the reasons why things were outsourced is because they can be cost-effective, they can be improved upon by doing that. You're using other, you're piggybacking onto existing infrastructure and services that are there and may be much better and much meet your needs a lot better than what you can do as a little community of 800 people. And the cost is certainly brought down. So Lou again nailed it. I mean, they mentioned the water and sewer and all of that, and road maintenance and cemetery management. And we've contracted out for everything because we just don't like volunteers. Well, we're volunteers. Some of us have done this for 20 and 30 years as unpaid volunteers.
And more.
Opposed to volunteers is ridiculous. What our job is to make sure that the community is well run, well managed, and the people get the services that they need. And I think we're very good at that. I think we've made a lot of improvements. The quality of the services, I mean, all you have to do is turn on your faucet and you can see the water is clean and it's drinkable. Right. And you don't have to use an additive to make your laundry white instead of brown. And things are being managed and run much more effectively. So, and we're very cost effective. And I think people.
I just want to state, for the record as utilities chair, that on average we're saving to the red, to the plus, about $75,000 a year since we've had these people doing the work for us. So I'm personally offended by someone that says we're spending too much on water sewer. We have actually saved this town almost $200,000 this past 3 years. So, boom. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
That's a fact.
Yeah. I've also got.
Not only that. You have to remember, in doing so, the quality of the service.
It's much better. The DEP is not trying to shut us down. The EPA thinks we're doing a good job. So I think we're doing pretty damn well. And I'm offended that they would write this in there personally.
We haven't had any fines in recent memory from the DEP where we were getting them on a regular basis because we were non-compliant.
We were also having meetings all the time. DEP was trying to meet with us because they were so disturbed by how our water sewer plants were running and the service.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, it's kind of neither here nor there. This doesn't have anything to do with the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. The question is, are they viable? What's their plan for viability? Do they have enough volunteers to do the job? And, you know, all of those issues that we went round and round and addressed and had meeting after meeting about, and to stir up the pot again.
Yep. I think this.
Well, I think, I wanted to also address that since Millstone has taken over, we, I'm going to say January, you know, officially it was February, but I've gotten nothing but positive feedback. They're here within 5 minutes, suited up at the house, providing BLS, transporting patients. I've just gotten absolutely nothing but positive feedback. And they answer 100% of the calls. And not to rehash all this again, but unfortunately, the Roosevelt squad was answering, as I said, this like a broken record, 5% of day calls and 35% of evening calls. And that's just not a good enough number. Long Branch disbanded their first aid services when they were answering 65% consistently because they didn't think that was good enough. We had a 5% day response and about a 45 to 48% evening response.
And let me just also say that the state of New Jersey has always been encouraging shared services, especially for smaller communities, because it makes both of those communities stronger. You have a stronger base, less financial impact because, you know, let's face it, when you ride by Millstone, sometimes a lot of fire trucks are sitting there. They have excess capacity. We're piggybacking onto that. And they're very... very good at what they do. So it would be foolish of us not to.
You're excellent. And they're here immediately. And also when I need to contact them, I hear back from them instantly. And as soon as I contact Millstone Fire First Aid, I hear back immediately. And
you know, this thing borders.
For us, we were spending money. And as Lou said in the very beginning of this, that this administration did not set those fees. Now, in the beginning, I have to admit that I was very angry and upset about the high cost of it. But once it included first aid along with fire, then I think
we're getting a bargain, not a bargain, but we're getting a fair share.
Right.
Know, I think this is so disingenuous and it borders on slander. I was never very upset with the whole problem, and we solved it as the way I do it, in a way that I agree to. But this is really nasty.
Well, let me ask everyone, as long as we're all on here. So I had two schools of thought. One was to ignore it, and one was to address it.
Yeah, well, you can't ignore it. I really don't think we can ignore it when they say that when they have a thing like this.
Yeah.
Everybody can see it up on my left side where you cut it off and they give you an envelope to send back the response. You know, I don't think that can be ignored.
That they don't want to face is that we never would have done this if we didn't need to. I mean, at its most basic, we took these steps because people in the community, residents were coming to us, not just complaining, but upset. And
the fire engine or the first aid squad didn't show up.
Right. And so we took these steps because they were necessary to the health and welfare of our residents. We didn't do it because we felt like, or it seemed like a good idea. We have not, you know, we haven't taken the bays away. We haven't done anything like that. We simply contracted out to a fire and first aid department that's 3 miles away, which is less than 5 minutes, because necessity precipitated it.
See, it says here, we know the mayor and council do not support us. That's not true. We supported them through thick and thin. We had nothing to do. It had nothing to do with supporting them or not supporting them.
I'll send out a flyer refuting, and well, not so much refuting, but just laying out the facts. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole, this is what I was upset with RAP. I don't want to get into a whole like them against us and back and forth and have this continue on, but I'll send one flyer stating the facts.
Usually it's a tough call on this kind of thing because you don't want to get into that. And then somebody else gets into a rebuttal of your rebuttal and
a lot of
energy on
perpetuating a bad situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
My first instinct was sort of just to, but I'll send one flyer, not refuting, but just stating the facts, and we'll leave it at that. Anyone who's had to call fire or first aid in the last year knows what a really excellent job.
What a professional job looks like.
Yeah.
If the council could review that just before it goes out, we might have something we want to add or whatever to it. So if you could send us a draft, that'd be good.
Yeah, I would like to see a draft also.
You're here.
All right. Counselor, do we need a closed session?
Not this evening, Mayor.
Anyone have, want to make a motion to adjourn?
I will.
I'll second.
I'll second.
Yeah, all in favor?
Why am I the first one to bail out?
Aye.
We'll see you on October.
Hold on, Steve. Did I get Steve saying aye?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Connie. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we will see August 4th.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That is so wishful thinking. I would give anything for it to be July now. I'm sorry, October
4th.
Time out, 8:30.
Okay. See you all around the campus. Good night.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Night, everyone.
Night.